When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Easley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Big thank you to the Killer Bees. Was enjoying listening to their baseball talk here today. Welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We dedicate the show tonight to Fox 26 producer and sports journalist Maggie McKethan, who passed recently, and just someone who affected positively so many in the sports community and beyond. All I can say is just shocking. Streaming at ESPN975.com. Call in number is 713-780-3776. And the show is always presented by DaspitLaw.com. Now tonight, the Soccer Matters question of the week. What tournament is most important to you? At CONCACAF Champions, the CONCACAF Champions, which the Dynamo advanced in, more on that later, U.S. Open Cup or Leagues Cup. Doesn't include the MLS Cup. So CONCACAF Champions, U.S. Open Cup, or Leagues Cup. Tell me at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. So with that, I'll ask that same question to producer Guillermo. Guillermo Lazo Romero, what tournament is most important to you? CONCACAF Champions, U.S. Open Cup, or Leagues Cup?
I like this question, the way you asked it, because right now, if I'm prioritizing in this specific season, I'm going to have to give it to the CONCACAF Champions Cup. You know, it's the first year that they do this kind of format, and winning the whole thing in the first year of the new format could go a long way.
Yeah, so you got three different tournaments. Obviously, CONCACAF Champions. If you win this, you then go to play in the Club World Cup. You have an opportunity of playing Manchester City or you know whoever wins Europe. You have a great chance to do that. U.S. Open Cup is in the news lately because people are upset that MLS isn't taken a little bit more seriously. That may be a little bit different here in Houston with Houston Dynamo fans because of the fact that simply the Dynamo won it last year in dramatic fashion over Inter Miami. So they are the defending Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup champions. And then there's the new one on the block, the Leagues Cup, which is obviously U.S. club teams against Mexican club teams. So take your pick, 713-780-3776. I'm going to read a couple of ones that have come in on Twitter. By the way, it's Twitter, well, it's X, at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. Same thing on Instagram. We would love for you to get over to our YouTube channel, Soccer Matters. Subscribe over there. It all makes a difference. So Mark says, Glenn, this isn't that hard of a question. The CCC trophy would be and should be the most important trophy to win outside the MLS Cup. Number one, it's a continental trophy. Number two, it gives you access to the CWC. And number three, it gives you the most brand exposure throughout the world. Yeah, that's if you win it. Yep. Rushan says CONCACAF, so he's CONCACAF champions as well. Chris the Bad Guy says not the Open Cup. So I don't know where the Open Cup fans are, but there's not much there. Jay-Z Eden, EDN 17. One, champions. Two, MLS. Well, we didn't include MLS in it. Three, Leagues Cup. And four, Open Cup. Patrick Glenn says Leagues Cup because it would be the toughest. They would have to beat Monterey or LAFC. Well, and they're going to have to beat Mexican club teams in CONCACAF, I would imagine, as well. Jonathan says CONCACAF, USOC, and then Leagues Cup play the youth. Alex says, I'd prioritize Champions Cup. So this is a slam dunk. Everybody's saying Champions Cup. Lava Spike Jones, CONCACAF Champions Cup. So, you know, I don't know if that's a lot of Dynamo fans saying that simply because they advanced last night, and if they would have said the same thing a day ago. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have here? Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening, Glenn Davis. It's Christian and Lamarck. I would come on here with my usual jovial self, but still, though, first of all, I want to say my condolences to the family and friends, and you're one of them, of Maggie McClellan. I know that she was a very dedicated member of the Houston Television and Houston Sports Scene, and an avid Dynamo and Dash fan. And I just wanted to ask, what were your thoughts about her? And second, about the whole debate of which cup is important, I think that the one they're in right now, the one they just won last night against St. Louis City, which the CONCACAF Champions League, I mean, I think it's of the most importance because it's like you said, Glenn, if they win that and they go on to the FIFA Club World Cup, it could give the Dynamo and the city of Houston the most importance that they can get out of an MLS team, especially with the World Cup in general coming to this continent in about 2 years. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. Look, I think that's where you get your most bang for your buck, right? And I think MLS is always trying to set the bar high. And by setting the bar high, you want to win the CONCACAF Champions Cup or the CONCACAF Champions League. You don't want it to be Mexican club teams anymore. I'm kind of tired of that, right? Seattle did it. I think we want more of that. And we want to see our teams on the world stage. And look, it may not be a tournament that's prioritized by the winner of Europe and UEFA, but it certainly is in our region of the world if you get to that Club World Cup. So it does dovetail nicely with everything that's going on here. I mean, we got CONMEBOL coming up and the Copa America. We got Gold Cup next summer. We got Women's Gold Cup going on tonight in Houston. And, of course, in 2026, we have the World Cup. So these are the things we want to get connected to and tie into. On Maggie, what I noticed about Maggie, and I didn't know her as well as many other people did, but I knew her from afar and through her effort and how hard she worked. I mean, she was a go-for-it hard worker. She seemed to have an incredibly ebullient personality. I've been reading with a lot of interest, you know, everybody's comments about her. It's just truly tragic. It's really all I want to say right now, because I think if you look on social media, you'll see a lot of people that knew her a lot better than me and could talk about her. But she's obviously, was to me, someone very unique, very hardworking, very passionate, producer, and then doing a lot in front of the camera. So both, you know. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Okay, so we've got Eric Goodman of the Verde Report, the Austin Chronicle, coming up later. We're going to get a little thought or two from him on Major League Soccer, also what's going on with Austin FC. We will talk some River Plate and Boca Juniors, which ended in a 1-1 draw, one of the great rivalries in the world. The U.S. women's national team, outcoached, outplayed in every facet of the game by Mexico. They lose 2-0. We've been signaling these warning signs for years that once countries with deep and unique and passionate soccer cultures began to invest in it, there would be a lot more competition for the U.S. women's national team. That's obviously here. The last World Cup was a disaster for the U.S. women. We're hoping they're going to turn it around. But this was a historic win for Mexico. So I think you first got to give them congratulations. And second, you know, where's the U.S. going? And that's really going to be around Emma Hayes. Dynamo 1-0 victory over St. Louis, advancing the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I think that's why a lot of people are talking about that. We'll preview the Red Bulls of New York a little bit. And a guy named Emil Forsberg, who many of you, whom you might know from the Swedish national team and Red Bull Leipzig. So there's a star coming in this weekend, by the way. If you're going to a game and you're going to the match to see the Dynamo and you want to see them in a way that you want to kind of focus in a little bit on a player for the opponent, well, there's one that really can get you really interested in this game, Emil Forsberg. So that's one to keep an eye on this weekend. So let's go to the Dynamo last night. 1-0 winners over St. Louis. They advance on away goals after 2-2 aggregate, right? So that key goal they scored in the 2-1 loss in St. Louis obviously is the difference for the Dynamo. A lot of rotation, a lot of shared minutes from Ben Olsen. This worked out beautifully. Remember, this is 4 games in 12 days for the Houston Dynamo. New York Red Bulls on Saturday and Emil Forsberg. You've had 2 CONCACAF games. You're 1-1-1 in all these games. You've had huge injury challenges to start the season. Ben Olsen made 5 changes in this game in the second half. Franco Escobar coming on, Tate Schmidt, Eric Svechenko, Amin Bassi, and Aliyu. Now, there's a lot of sharing of the minutes here. This is really challenging for coaches, I think. When you look at having Bassi back, Escobar back, right away it makes the game day lineup and the bench look a lot stronger. Okay, so started off with Steve Clark in goal, Griffin Dorsey, Ethan Bartlow getting a run, giving Svechenko a break, Mikael Steris. Mikael, I think, has been excellent. Midfield, Jan Gregoš getting the start, Artur in the 6, obviously, Coco. And then you had Smith out wide, Kovalchuk, and Siegel. All right? And that was your starting lineup to start this one. Eric Svechenko gets the game-winning goal, comes on in the second half. 60th minute. Now, if you remember what happened prior to this, and I'll take your Dynamo takes, by the way, at 713-780-3776. It's a 60th minute goal. Svechenko comes on at halftime. I think he mentioned in the postgame that maybe Mikael had a back tightness or something. Anyway, when this free kick comes in, you'll notice Svechenko heads it down to the feet of Daniel Steris, immediately moves towards him, asks for the ball back, and really has to strike it really quickly and kind of caress it in. And that's what he does. It's a huge goal for him. It's his first in a Dynamo uniform. It's a 36th in his career at FC Midtjylland in Denmark. Scored a lot of goals. Do not forget, though, right after that, Joao Klaus almost tied things up after a driven-in cross and a header that just flashed wide. But would love your Dynamo take at 713-780-3776. Now, Griffin Dorsey went off. Club's not commenting on anything yet there. That looked to me like that may have been an ankle injury. From watching the game on television last night, that looked like an ankle injury. So keeping an eye on that one. You might think he may not be available this weekend. That dovetails nicely with Franco Escobar making his way back last night and getting some minutes. All right, so here's the Eric Svechenko goal. Here's what it sounded like in the 60th minute. This advances the Houston Dynamo in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Forward again, the header into the middle. It's still there, and finally a goal! Houston have scored! Eric Svechenko gives the advantage to the Dynamo!
And then here's Eric Svechenko on his first goal for the Houston Dynamo.
I had actually talked with my son this morning that I promised him that I wanted to score. It has been like 30 games here that I haven't scored. So I thought, why not do it today? Now, I came in and hoped for the best, and Dan and I combined really well on a good free kick from the side, and then 1-0 and we're through. It was a little bit of a dream come true, actually. I've waited for my first goal for Houston Dynamo, so now I go for the second in the next game.
And by the way, last year, think of how many times Hector Herrera and him tried to link up last year and how close he came to getting his first ever goal for the Houston Dynamo. And then he gets one that helps them advance in the CONCACAF Champions League. All right, thanks for tuning in here tonight, doing this one tonight from the home studio. Copa America, June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica, June 24th, Colombia and Paraguay, July 4th, the quarterfinal. Unbelievable that we have this coming to Houston. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I do want to remind you about a very big and very important initiative tonight. It's the 2024 Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It's hosted by United Soccer Club League, which has well over 25 member clubs throughout Houston. That is a league, if you heard in the last show on Monday, Olivier Finidori was on. That is run by the technical directors. They took control of their own league. It's Kick Cancer Clinic, Sunday, March 17th. It's 3 to 5:30 at Dias Park. It's grassroots. Only $50. You'll get a T-shirt as well. You go to thedriven.net. Thedriven.net. This is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Any type of accident you get in, car, boat, motorcycle, drive an 18-wheeler, you need the best in the business. That is the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We're coming back. More Dynamo talk. We'll talk some Boca Juniors, River Plate. We'll take your phone calls. And again, remind me, what's more important? CONCACAF Champions League, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, or is it the League's Cup, the new venture between MLS and Liga MX?
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's the legendary Scorpions bringing us back. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. So thoughts on the Houston Dynamo, three games in right now. We had some real naysayers in the beginning. Now we're getting people coming around as people get healthy. It's kind of the way it goes. We would love your phone call. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Dynamo outshoots St. Louis 12-9. 50% of the ball possession in this, 65 more passes. So now in three games, they're 1-1-1 overall. The benches look different in the games as people are coming back healthy now. I mean, this is what Major League Soccer is at this point of the year. And the Dynamo, I like the competitive nature of everybody right now, even though it's kind of having to mix and match here due to a lot of challenges that a coaching staff, Ben Olsen, and them have. By the way, Ethan Bartlow got some of his first minutes. Yeah, his timing was a little off at times, but I'll tell you what, 55th minute, Ethan Bartlow made a huge tackle on Adeniran. Beautifully timed tackle. I thought Adeniran was in. Now, by the way, Adeniran is a local kid here in Houston. His father, Adi, was a trainer out here and was a professional soccer player. It's one to keep an eye on there. But got some starters back. The roster's looking different. I think a nice three set of games for Sebastian Kowalczyk, who's probably making believers out of people more now. I mean, who knows? He may push Amin Bassi for a starting role. Or maybe at times it's Bassi and Karaskia. I mean, there's all kinds of combinations that are going to probably have to be used here, obviously, with all the competitions that the Houston Dynamo are in. The Orange Hex, all right. They say prioritize the Open Cup. There you go. Let's see what else we got here coming in on whether it's CONCACAF Champions League, Open Cup, or Leagues Cup. So, yeah, here's one. Here's one from Joey. Joey says, Kowalczyk has been awesome. Gregusz and Steris look like complete veterans out there. Siegel, Schmidt, Reigns, and Bartlow all look like they can develop into regulars as well. Haven't even seen the draft guys or Sargent yet. No, we haven't. Exciting stuff to come. Yeah, there are possibilities. I think, you know, the silver lining when you don't have everybody is that it does provide opportunity. Sometimes you're forced into playing people that are not normally people who are going to grab minutes. So last year, you know, if it was a perfect world, the Houston Dynamo would have wanted 1,000 minutes for Brooklyn Reigns. I think he only had around 200. He's already gotten a lot of minutes this year, simply because he moved up in the pecking order, right? But then if you're looking at him as an individual player, you're saying he's got to play. He's got to get minutes. He's got to be able to make mistakes. By the way, he made mistakes in the two games he played that cost the Dynamo goals in both games. But you still say at the end of the day, it's great experience. You expect that from an 18-year-old. Ethan Bartlow was the starter last year until a man named Eric Sviatchenko came. And by the way, a lot of people were saying, oh, why are we getting another center back? You know, we're good. Sviatchenko became a very, very big part of what the Dynamo did last year. Leadership, you heard the passion in his voice after scoring the goal last night, what it meant to him. I mean, this is a guy that played at Celtic, Midtjylland, has represented Denmark. And that, you know, he came in and took Ethan Bartlow's minutes. That's the way it worked. And he, along with Griffin Dorsey, really put a different complexion on this team. Kowalczyk didn't really have a lot of time. Very tough to get integrated, and I think he's made that very clear in interviews. Jan Gregusz did not look good up until last night. He looked a little more like the Jan Gregusz we know, who's had an outstanding career. He's played over 30 times for Slovakia. Daniel Steris, that's no surprise. I mean, you saw what he did last year. Played every position along the back line and, you know, did it very comfortably, even playing as a left back with being predominantly right-footed. Siegel, book's still out on him, scored a very good goal. He's certainly a worker. We know that. And then we'll see what happens with some of the draft choices and if they can crack it. But when you've got injuries that, you know, took out the guy I believe was the MVP in the league last year, hands down, that's Hector Herrera. I know people in Cincinnati won't agree with me. And you don't have Sebas Ferreira. That was a really tough blow, I think. I think for him individually as well, as the Dynamo were looking for a goal scorer. And it was sad to see him go down with a hamstring injury and put him behind it now. Force the Dynamo maybe into making an urgent signing, getting Gabe Siegel here. Force the Dynamo into a signing of urgency to get here, Jan Gregusz. I mean, this is the way it goes. You got to make decisions on the fly. A lot of times you don't have the time to gather all the data. You just got to make the decision, and some of it's a little bit more hopeful that somebody's going to come through. But I think after three games right now, after the way this started, I think you got to be feeling really good. You're in the CONCACAF Champions League in the next round. Columbus is beatable. I know they're the defending MLS Cup champions. Everybody's beatable in MLS. You know that. I know that. 713-780-3776. You agree with my thoughts here on the Houston Dynamo? 713-780-3776. So you're rounding out your roster. You're getting people opportunity. I don't think Sebastian Kowalczyk wants to be a guy that comes off the bench. I think he wants to be a starter. You don't want anything less than that. Aliyu Ibrahim came in the game for Brad Smith. Brad Smith got a start. So you got a lot of different things going on here that I think ultimately are going to make sense. They're going to be good for individual players, which in turn is going to be good for the overall project that Ben Olsen and company are putting out. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. By the way, Canada and Costa Rica, I think, are still in action right now down at Shell Energy. This is Women's Gold Cup. And then later on, Paraguay and El Salvador. I saw a pretty cool shot of the Paraguayan women's team holding up Sebas Ferreira's jersey. Now, if you remember, when Sebas was scoring goals, he was getting brought in to the Paraguayan national team, into camps. And to think that they're going to be in the Copa America, you got to wonder where that is in his mind. You got FC Cincinnati tonight against Cavalier, and you got Nashville and Mocha tonight in CONCACAF Champions. By the way, Corey Baird, who went over to FC Cincinnati, is playing as a wide guy over there after playing as an out-and-out center forward. And if you remember last year, he struggled with the position early. Couldn't score goals, was trying to figure out the type of movement that he needed to produce in that position. And then the second go-round, that's when it kind of clicked for him. And I think some of that had to directly do with the fact that the Dynamo were getting a wide game then with Griffin Dorsey. 713-780-3776. All right. FA Cup today, Luton Town against Manchester City. Erling Haaland scores his fifth, yes, I said it, his fifth goal in this game. Here's what it sounded like.
Bernardo Silva. It's Haaland again. Manchester City's 100th goal of the season.
Opens up his body, just goes for power. Not great goalkeeping, you have to say. What a night for Erling Haaland.
So it's a five-goal game for Erling Haaland. How about Manchester United? They get an 89th-minute winner from Casemiro. They beat Nottingham Forest in an FA Cup game. Matt Turner in goal for Nottingham Forest.
The dying embers of the match. In by Bruno Fernandes, and all the way in. Casemiro claims the touch. He says it's my goal. It's certainly Bruno Fernandes' contribution that is massively telling.
Big goal for Casemiro. Big goal for Manchester United. Javier Aguirre and Mallorca scores the last penalty. His club advances to the Copa del Rey finals. This is Sergi Dardar. He scores it after going into the penalty kick. This was a 1-1 draw, and then it goes into penalties. He hits a game winner.
4-4. Dardar con la oportunidad de llevar al Mallorca nuevamente una final de Copa del Rey. Listo Dardar, arranca, viene al arco, gol, Mallorca está en la final, a la final de la Copa del Rey, el equipo del Vasco Aguirre.
So there you go, Vasco Aguirre and Mallorca advancing to the final. The other semifinals tomorrow, it's Atletico Madrid, the man in black, against Athletic Bilbao. That's tomorrow at 2:30 Central Time. So, we had another unbelievable thing happening here. Superclásico Argentina, River Plate and Boca Juniors. Now, if you've never watched this, even on TV, I mean, this is a bucket list game to go to. This was at the Monumental, the home of River Plate. It was pretty remarkable. Just the color, the bands of red and white that were coming from the top of the stadium down, then a massive jersey unveiled that, you know, goes over an entire section. Just incredible stuff. River Plate would get the opener, 49th minute, Pablo Solari.
A very weak rejection. Wasn't an offside, that's a big question. Now another chance. This is a big chance for River. The shot right to Chiquito, the rebound.
Sergio Romero initially made the save. It comes right back to Colidio, and he produces the game winner. I mean, make that Pablo Solari. Colidio hit the post earlier. Both these teams came out kind of with a four set in the back, one kind of axis, and then three in front of them and two in front of them. But, you know, like a lot of these super classicos between Boca Juniors and River Plate, they turn into kind of wars, right? And then there are these singular moments that make the game pretty incredible. So River Plate, when they start this game, Amani's in goal, Diaz, the two Diazes at the back. Then you have the former Atlanta United, Leandro Gonzalez Pires. Herrera was the right back, Viegra, the holding midfielder, and then they had Claudio Echeverri in front of him. That's the highly touted 18-year-old. They call him Diablito, on loan from Manchester City. Fernandez, Ezequiel Barco, remember him from Atlanta United, also in midfield. Colidio, who I said hit the post, and then Solari, who scored the goal. That was the River Plate lineup. And then Sergio Romero in goal for Boca Juniors. Blanco, Figal, Lema, Avencula, Saralegue, Medina. Medina had an outstanding game in this. Fernandez, Zinan, Blanco was good too, getting forward. You had Cavani and Mariette Thiaw. So Edison Cavani also making his way over to Argentina and playing there as well. So Boca would tie things up. The equalizer comes in the 70th minute. It's Christian Medina. It's a great goal after a great buildup.
Back to Lautaro Blanco. Blanco trying to win here against Santana. Ends up turning around. Santana not being able to get there. Lautaro Blanco, the shot by Medina. Goal!
So that's how it would end. It would end 1-1 in the Super Derby between River Plate and Boca Juniors. Liverpool advanced past Southampton. They will take on Manchester United in the FA Cup tie. A couple of things here as we head to break here. Big shout out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center. Daily specials, whiskey and beer offering off the charts. All the traditional English pub food. Bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie. Place is pristine. Houston and Liverpool supporters group home. Cactus Music, my friend Quinn, get over there. Cactus Music for the best in vinyl selection, both new and used. I mean, they got everything. They got books, CDs. If you got a music lover, this is a place to get a gift for them. You go in there, you can be in there for hours. I often get stuck in there. Lots of rare vinyl, too. Independent music store, 40 years. Got to love it. And Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. Jan and Yannick Christensen, DanishInspirations.com. Again, I remind you, 2024 Kick Cancer Clinic for Pediatric Cancer Awareness Fundraising. United Soccer Club League endorsing this. Over 25 member clubs. 3 to 5:30 at Dias Park, March 17th. We would love to have campers. You're going to be there for an amazing cause. It's grassroots. It's only $50. You get a T-shirt. And it is something that we are very, very proud of. You go to thedriven.net. It's the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic presented by United Soccer Club League and Soccer Matters. We'll take a break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Guillermo, you trying to put me to sleep here?
Song you wanted right here, this is the song.
There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. All right, welcome back, everybody. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The Clash. Typical good hard rock and garage band music. All right, welcome back to the show here. By the way, LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats there to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. LamontBrands.com. Get your t-shirts down there. Got a red one now, I think. Dynamo Orange. And that's a place you get them. LamontBrands.com. Also the trucker hats as well. Right now, caller number 3 and 4 at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Right now, caller 3 and 4. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo this weekend against the New York Red Bulls on Saturday night. All right, keeping with the MLS talk, great friend of the show. He's been on a number of times, always brings great insight. He is with the Verde Report in Austin, Texas, with the Austin Chronicle. He's Eric Goodman. He joins us now. Eric, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
So my apologies. We're still getting used to our earlier time slot here. So I told you 7:20 tonight, 6:20. Look at you. You made it happen anyway.
Yeah, we make it happen. No sweat. We make it happen.
That's the way it goes. All right, so let's talk some Austin FC. They come off kind of a rough start here against Minnesota United. So the fan base, kind of where's their expectations right now? Where are your expectations around Austin FC?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, Austin is always going to have the energy in the home crowd in QT Stadium, and especially in a season opener. You know, the environment was as you would expect, until you get that, you know, that first dose of cold water to the face, which is that Sebastian Driussi is going to miss the game with what we learned was a hamstring injury that he sustained in the last week of preseason. It wasn't something the club was very forthcoming about before the match, so it was kind of a surprise not to see him not only not start the match, but not in the 18 at all. So, you know, we've seen Austin enough without Driussi to understand that they're just not the same team, and they struggled last year with him on the pitch. So without him, I mean, they're really, really struggle to be dangerous. At the same time, you know, they caught a Minnesota team that, you know, if there was one team across MLS that you might prefer to face in week one, it's probably Minnesota without Bebel Reynoso, before Eric Ramsey has had a chance to come overseas from Manchester United. So they're without their manager, without their best player, and yet still absolutely dominated the opening 45 minutes. I mean, that's just not how you want to start your season if you're Austin. And, you know, Josh Wolf took ownership of that. Credit to him. He did lay into his guys, by all accounts, in the halftime locker room and did get a good reaction in the second half, but it wasn't enough. Not clinical enough in front of goal. And, yeah, Minnesota takes a good 3 points on the road in Austin. And you know, kind of the ghosts of 2023 coming back very quickly to haunt Austin 2024.
He's Eric Goodman, the Verde Report and the Austin Chronicle. I suggest you read his stuff. It's really good stuff. So, look, two out of the last 3 years have been rough. Year two was remarkable. Everything went through Driussi. When you look at this roster, the changes that have been made, I get it. Diego Rubio's come in, could turn out to be something good. You still have Emilio Rigoni. You still have Jazzy Zardes. What's going to be different? And is this team, again, too overburdened when it comes to Driussi and expecting so much from him to happen? I just feel like this is a guy in many ways that is asked almost to do too much. He's never going to be able to replicate year two, which was one of the greatest seasons ever a player produced in MLS.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, but I think that's kind of what he's going to be asked to do as much as possible this year, only because, I mean, you know, this is the first full season under Rodolfo Borrell, the sporting director who comes from Manchester City, comes from, you know, the Barcelona and the Liverpool lineage. And you get the sense that the moves that were made this offseason were really just kind of patchwork to try to, you know, put out a team. You know, they parted ways with 9 players, and if you count trading away Diego Fagundes, that's 10 players that Austin, you know, parted ways with in the offseason. So in my opinion, I saw these moves as more, let's just get a squad together for 2024, very short-term thinking, because you get the sense with Borrell, he's thinking long-term, and he's looking up and down this roster at a lot of contracts that he simply cannot move. And he can't do what he wants as long as these contracts are on the books.
So let me stop there. Let me just stop you there, because I want to ask you something about that as well. Is that okay? I get that he's stuck with some contracts. Lots of people are, but he is Rodolfo Borrell. He comes in with the big reputation. How much is this also about him just understanding MLS, the litany of rules, and the talent level here, the competition? Because as schooled as he is, coming from the background he comes from, it's still a process for him as well, right?
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we're never going to know exactly, you know, how much of a learning curve, you know, he's dealing with. And I'm sure it's steep. But at the same time, you know, the moves that have been made, you know, have been pretty savvy. But, you know, Diego Rubio, they were able to sign him for I believe, under half of what he was making with DC United in his previous stop. And another, you know, veteran center back, Brandon Heinzeich, you know, these signings were made at a good value. And I think that's where Borrell's kind of obsession is right now, is just balancing Austin's books. There's a lot of contracts, you know, that this team has had. It's kind of why the trade for Diego Fagundes was so shocking. It was because this was a player that, yes, he was producing for Austin, but, you know, Austin was presented with an offer from LA Galaxy, and that's just not something that they've been getting a lot of in terms of outside interest for their players, because, you know, there are a lot.
But wasn't there more to that story? In your opinion, Eric, wasn't there a bit of a clash with Josh Wolf and Diego Fagundes? Did that affect the trade at all?
My read, and other people may give you a different take on this, but my read was that it was all financial. I really think Borrell, I think by that point, okay, Josh Wolf's opinion on the roster was irrelevant. I think at this point, Josh Wolf is handling the squad, you know, on the training pitch and on match day. And in terms of roster, it's 100% Borrell, who is simply just trying to get this budget in a position where he can do the things that he wants to do. And, you know, so you I've taken kind of
you don't case, think Josh Wolf's assessment of players' input, Borrell,
I think a lot
take
less,
any?
I think a lot a less. Lot than, less. Frankly, yeah. A lot less than it did under Claudio Reyna. That's the sense I get. And listen, you know, Diego Fagundes was one of the only players that was consistently dangerous for this club. So from an on the pitch perspective, even if there was some, you know, some friction in the locker room, it did not make any sense to.
Yeah, but I'm gonna have to go in a little bit of a different direction, because last year he did not seem to come in fit. His performance took a while to get going. I mean, yeah, I know he had some injuries and things, but it didn't seem. There was something else to me. He didn't seem as motivated. He didn't seem as fit.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's good memory by you. There were complaints. You know, Josh Wolf did publicly kind of, you know, cast doubt on his fitness. And the main thing Josh said is that, you know, the contract extension and the raise that Austin gave Fagundes was like made him not worth his value, which makes, you know, begs the question, you're part of the sporting director at that point, why you're the one responsible for presenting him with that contract extension. So, you know, at that point, you know, it was part of what made 2023 a bit of a mess, you know, especially from a front office perspective. So, I mean, in terms of this season, you know, Josh Wolf has what he has. I'm not expecting, you know, in the summer, you know, we know that one signing, you know, Austin FC's made one signing for this summer, and they've stated that they're very close on a second one, but I don't expect anything wholesale. And Josh Wolf is going to have to get the most that he can out of this roster as constructed. I don't think the club's expecting, you know, anything more than fighting for one of the last couple of playoff spots in the Western Conference, but I do believe that that's something they expect the club should be talented enough to be in that mix for the 8-9 spot.
He's Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, The Verde Report. They go down 2-1 at Q2 Stadium. Robin Luden, the 34th. Alejandro Braun, Costa Rican, who came off the bench, he scored. That was basically a 4-on-3. Positionally, they were a mess on that play. The pass that led to him getting on the ball in the box. I mean, the defender in relation to the ball was all off. And then Biro had one in stoppage time. Josh Wolf said they're emphasizing collective defending more. They conceded 55 last year. I mean, to emphasize that, what did you see maybe differently from a team without the ball defending in Austin FC in that Minnesota game? Small sample size, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything that seemed, you know, all that different, to be honest, and it was simply not a good half. The effort and the reaction wasn't good in the opening 45 minutes, and then compounding onto that, they lose Leo Väisänen to an injury about 35 minutes in. That's your top center back. I mean, that was in addition to Brad Stuver in goal. You know, those are the two players that you're banking on to log the most minutes as the foundation of your defense, and so that's a big blow for the club. You know, it's supposedly he's been dealing with plantar fasciitis, and then actually exiting the stadium, you know, we saw him on crutches. So, you know, I'm certainly not expecting expecting to see Bison in, certainly not this weekend.
So it's Julio Cascante time, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, Cascante, who's been the most, you know, he's been the most senior capped player in terms of defenders in so far in Austin's history. So he's back in with a starting role. And, you know, they do have more depth. They're a little bit, you know, more equipped to sustain an injury like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the margins are so slim. And, you know, it wasn't a great start, frankly. I do want to give a lot of credit to Caden Clark, who made just a spectacular pass on that second goal. And you're right, the defense was a little out of position, but that's still an impressive pass for a 20-year-old.
It definitely looks, yeah, no, it's a great ball, and you have to make a great ball to take advantage of defenders that aren't positioned well. But, you know, you can look at these things from the attacking standpoint. You can also look at it from where people are positionally and what part of what space they're protecting and how aware of runs and movement there is. And, by the way, Caden Clark was completely – there's absolutely no pressure on the guy. So, you know, you got to give the center back some credit there. They didn't have a lot of help either, right? Back to Driussi. I do know DPs have to be the difference makers. I agree with that. Is he as motivated as he once was in Austin? Do you get that sense? Because it has been a tough slog since that great season.
I have no reason to doubt that he is. I mean, we obviously didn't get to see him on the pitch in this season opener. I'm excited to, you know, it sounds like there's a chance he will be able to suit up this weekend against Seattle, and I'll be, you know, interested to see what version of Driussi we get. But typically, even if he's not scoring, I mean, you can tell that he just loves playing, you know, a creative style. He's a player that, you know, can surprise defenders in terms of, you know, a lot of what Austin does, if you scout them well enough, you know, is pretty predictable. But Driussi adds that element where you're never quite sure exactly what ball he's going to attempt to play, how he's going to attempt to play it. So that's part of what makes him so valuable. And there was still plenty of that on display last year, even as, you know, things got pretty bleak in terms of the standings. So I'm excited to see him get back on the pitch, and we'll see if he can, you know, kind of elevate some of the players around him in the sense of Emiliano Rigoni, the other attacking designated player, who I thought did, you know, had one of his better games in the opener and was one of the more threatening players that Austin had. So you get Driussi back out there and you see what can kind of be made elevated around him.
By the way, I remember watching him at River Plate 2013, somewhere in that 15, 17, wherever, before he left Argentina. He had 21 goals and 67 appearances for River Plate. And you made a very great point about him. He's very unpredictable, and I think that's what puts people in the seats, you know, that just that unpredictable nature of certain players, you know, like him, Luciano Acosta. I would say that with Hector Herrera. They do things that are a little off the grid and different and unexpected. They look at the game differently, and they're the ones who put people in the seats as well. Last thing before I let you go, and we need to do this one real quick, but how's Austin FC? You know, I know they got a little bit, they kind of circled the wagons with the press and things. How is that going now? Or are they a little bit more open? That was a little surprising. The Driussi injury wasn't, you know, made public a little bit earlier. On the other hand, you know, maybe this is what happens in MLS. Nobody wants to say anything because they're worried people aren't going to come to games, but Austin FC selling out every game anyway.
It's a good point about, you know, I hadn't thought of it from that standpoint. I was assuming, you know, and I think it's mainly from a standpoint of you don't want to give Minnesota any chance to kind of prepare for what Austin might look like without Driussi. But I, you know, I've had, you know, no real complaints from my side. We got to get locker room access for the first time in Austin's history. Obviously, this club, you know,
great.
Was founded and started during, you know, the COVID pandemic. And so just now are we kind of getting to the point where all MLS clubs, I believe, are required to make that locker room access open. So got a chance to speak to a kind of a wider range of players than we ordinarily would. And then, you know, I got the chance to speak with Alex Ring towards the end of the offseason, and he was not available for any media last year. So getting a chance to reconnect with him and you know, get his take on the state of things was was really interesting, and I enjoyed that. So far it's been good, but we'll see if things continue to, if they can't turn the season around and get back in a positive direction. We know, these clubs do have a tendency to kind of shut down in that respect.
Yep, and Alex is probably a lot happier being back in midfield, right?
Yeah, I think so, and he's got to carry a heavy load still as a nominal DP.
Yep. Well, Eric, as always, great stuff. Thank you for coming on tonight. Thanks for being a part of the show. He's Eric Goodman, The Verde Report, Austin Chronicle. I highly suggest you follow his readings. Just shoot out your account on X, Eric, for everybody.
Yeah, real simple, @Goodman. It's a great place to get content. We also have a newsletter at austinchronicle.com/newsletter. And all our Austin FC content, you can get right to your inbox.
All right, so there's a great take on one of the Dynamo opponents this year, Austin FC with Eric Goodman. Eric, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Glenn. Yeah, great to talk to you.
You too. That's Eric Goodman. Good stuff there. That's going to finish the show off here tonight. Again, we remind you, 2024 Kick Cancer Clinic, hosted by the United Soccer Club League and Soccer Matters. All the member clubs, Kick Cancer Clinic, it's Sunday, March 17th, 3 to 5:30. You go to thedriven.net, thedriven.net. Big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's daspitlaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. For Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer extraordinaire, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Monday night, remember, soccer matters.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.